can you see, or does the glare from my head blind you? So you all, actually stay standing. We'll read the Bible, and well, I'm honored. I'm honored to be here. I count it a privilege and an honor. I'll tell you a little bit about myself in the middle of the sermon, but you know, I never thought I'd get to do what I get to do. I never thought I would be able to serve the Lord. You know. You just, a lot of you are privileged. You grew up here in church and been here your whole life. And don't take that for granted. But God has a plan for every single person, whether your parents come to church or don't come to church, whether you've been here for a little while or you've been here your whole life. God has a plan and a will and a work that He wants you to do. So, Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah, and that's an Old Testament. And just after Ezra, just before Esther. And Nehemiah chapter number 4. I appreciate all the hospitality from Brother and Mrs. Wells. You are blessed to have the youth pastor and youth pastor's wife that you have. I preach in a lot of churches. I meet a lot of youth pastors, and I've been in youth groups. I was a teenager once. It may seem like it was a long time ago. It doesn't seem that way to me, but to you maybe. You know, we went through times where we had and we didn't have, and you know, you're blessed. That excitement, don't take that for granted. The activities, the things you get to do, those are, you're blessed. You have a great pastor and youth pastor. Nehemiah chapter 4, let's start in verse number 6, okay? The Bible says, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites and the Termites and Mosquitobites, when they heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them." Verse number 10, I want you to focus in on. I want you to see something here. "And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." I'll pray, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that rubbish, okay? Let's pray. Lord, I pray, Lord, I don't want to just take 30 minutes and Lord, just talk. Lord, I beg you to fill me with your Spirit. Lord, as I talk to the young people in their ears, Holy Spirit, I pray you do a work in their hearts. Lord, I pray you bless the time we get to spend together tonight. May we hear the Word of God. May we apply the Word of God. May we let the Word of God change us. Help us to be surrendered just like that song. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. My wife is with me. She don't usually get to travel with me. She's sitting back there with the baby that's making all the noise. And he's like his mom, talks a lot and stuff. So we left this morning. We flew down. We got to the airport at 5:30. Now, I thought my wife packed a lot. But I guess babies pack even more. You got diapers and water and formula and you got toys, you know, and then like 17 changes of clothes because he spits up on himself all the time. And it's his first time flying. He's 5 months old. And I was a little nervous. She was a little nervous. I don't really do well with the whole spit up thing anyway. I just think it's gross, you know. He's just all the time. He eats and then he just spits it all back up. It's really not good. And I tell him, I tell my wife, I say, "I think he wants you." But we were a little worried. We had heard some horror stories. People were talking to us. They're like, "Oh yeah, first time our kids flew, man, they just puked all over the plane, and it was just crazy." And so in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, you know, we're going to be in this plane. There's going to be 3 seats. We're going to be in 2 of them. There's going to be somebody else in the other one. My wife's going to be sitting here, and the baby's just going to puke on the person right next to her. And you know, all those things are going through my mind as we're preparing to fly. Well, we get to the airport and we go to get on our plane and we fly into Atlanta. Most of the time, if you fly Delta, you fly through Atlanta. Some people think the rapture is actually going to go through Atlanta and there'll be a little stay there. But before we could get on our plane in Atlanta to come here,
we were stopped on the tarmac, the little walkway there, and they wouldn't let us in the plane. And, you know, immediately then you start thinking, okay, worse than the baby puking or spitting up is if the plane breaks or something goes wrong. Well, then all of a sudden the cleaning crew comes out. And they got all the trash, and they got some towels where they clean stuff up. And the stewardess said, just a few minutes, we're finishing up cleaning the plane. And they would not allow us to get on the plane full of trash. And it reminded me here of Nehemiah, in Nehemiah chapter 4, when the bearers of burdens, it says, that their strength was decayed because there was so much rubbish. The word rubbish means trash or garbage or scraps or refuse. Nehemiah had came and he had came to build this wall, and he believed it was God's will, and God provided for him to be able to do it. And he'd been at it a while, and the people are fired up. They have a mind to work. The enemy's fighting, but the wall's being built, and they have a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other, and they're building the wall. And all of a sudden, then they get to a point and they go, oh man, there's a bunch of stuff here. We're going to have to, we can't just build through that. We're going to have to do something about all that trash, all that rubbish, it says. Something stop them from doing what God had for them to do. Is everybody with me? Something was actually between them and what God had for their lives. It wasn't a lack of materials. They had a lot. In fact, the Lord provided all that they needed to build the wall. So it wasn't a lack of materials. It wasn't a lack of workers, because everybody was doing something. Somebody was on the sheep gate. Somebody was on the water gate. Somebody drew the short straw and was on the dung gate. Okay? But it wasn't a lack of workers. It wasn't a lack of desire. They wanted the wall. It wasn't a stoppage of service. They were at it. But then all of a sudden they noticed that they weren't going to be able to build this wall because there was so much trash in the city. The people who were once excited and unified with a mind to work now find themselves unable to do what God has asked them to do because there's so much burnt gates and broken walls, heaps of rubbish. Verse number 2 of chapter number 4 says, I'm afraid there are many young people that same way. They're saved. They have a desire to serve God or please God with their life. They get fired up from time to time and want to do even more. They may even start a wall in their life or start toward what God has for them to do. But then something rubbish gets between them and what God has for them. What's keeping you from the wall that God has for you? What is it that keeps pulling you back down? What I mean is this, why is it that at last year's youth conference, you were on the wall, surrendered, going to do something for God, sold out. Now you're cold, not thinking about not even doing what you said God called you to do a year ago. How'd you decide to stop doing that certain thing, going to that certain place, hanging out with that certain person at camp last summer? But then now, you're back to doing what you were doing before. Some of us think that's just how it works. We're carnal August through May, and we get fired up in June and July, and then we go back to being carnal the rest of the time. It doesn't have to be that way. Right. Something got between you and that decision. I'll tell you this much, you guys will not fail because of resources. You got a great church, you got a great youth department, you got a great youth pastor, you have conferences, you have revivals, your school, all that stuff that you got going on, you won't fail because of people. You got parents, you got pastor, you got youth pastor, you got youth workers all around the room that are investing their time in your lives. It won't be because of workers or people. Whether you believe it or not, it won't be because of trials. You may have experienced death or divorce or disappointment in your life. But I want to tell you something right now. I've seen teenagers from all walks of life on the wall. From all different sizes of churches. From public school to Christian school to homeschool to dropped out of school. I've seen them with saved parents and unsaved parents, with a youth pastor and without a youth pastor, with lots of friends, with no friends. I've seen them surrender to Christ having lost one parent. I've seen them surrender to Christ having lost both parents. I grew up, my mom and dad divorced before I was born. I lived with my mom. She was a single mom. She raised two girls and me, three kids total. And she didn't go to church. She wasn't saved. Neither was my dad. And I would go. We lived in Louisville, Kentucky, biggest city in Kentucky. And I would go for the summer. I would go down and stay with my dad. And my dad would leave me at my grandma's a lot. And my grandma made me go to church. I'll never forget. She made me go as a young man. As a little kid. But then when I was 14, we came in for the summer, and I had hair down to here. Now, you won't believe it tonight, obviously, but just trust me on that, okay? And those of you guys that spend all that time on your hair, and you care about how it looks, and, you know, to make sure that it's all great, let me tell you something, it's leaving. It's going, all right? And so, but I had hair down to here. I parted it in the middle. I'd go to the barber, and they would raise up the sides, shave underneath, and then drop it back down for me. Now, you think that's weird, but you should see how you look. All right? And like 10 years from now, you'll look back at pictures and you'll go, what was I thinking? What kind of hairstyle is that? But that's how I cut my hair. So I come in, I'm wearing a necklace, okay? Wearing my gold chain. I got baggy pants. I got baggy shirts, baggy everything. Well, I come in and it's Saturday night and Granny says, we're going to go to church in the morning. I said, okay, it's fine. And she said, you might want to wear this. And she hands me a pair of khakis and a polo shirt. Now, to me, that was like a shirt and tie at the time. I was like, Granny, I don't wear this stuff. This is old man stuff. She said, trust me, you want to wear it tomorrow. I said, all right, whatever. She's like, and you may want to... You may want to give me that necklace. I said, Granny, this is my chain. She's like, trust me, you may want to give me that necklace. So I let her have the necklace. She put it in a little red jewelry box where necklaces belong. Not on boys, but in girls' jewelry boxes. And we went to church. And when I say we went to church, we had a leather lung, what they call a hacking preacher. Y'all ever heard a hacking preacher? He starts preaching, you understand the first word he says, you understand the last word he says, and all the in between is like, and he was red faced and I mean preached on everything. Long hair. Necklaces. I was like, huh, good there. Thank you, Granny. Get him, man. He preached on baggy clothes, and I was like, amen, I'm wearing my old man stuff today. Get him. I didn't understand a whole lot of the sermon. I really thought the guy was going to die. But he made it through, and he gave the gospel at the end, and I was 14 years old, and I trusted. I didn't go forward then. That night, I trusted Christ as my Savior at my grandmother's house. I got baptized that summer. And God brought a revival in our family because my dad also got saved that summer. My grandpa also got saved that summer. My wife's dad actually had a huge part in leading my dad and my grandpa to the Lord. He was an assistant pastor at church. He was the guy that picked me up on the bus. And now I married his daughter. So you better watch who you pick up. Yeah. I tell people all the time, she's my prize for being good on the bus. So, but I'm going to tell you something. I never thought growing up in Louisville and then bouncing down to Harlan, Harlan County, Kentucky. Most people don't even know where it's at. It's where like Tennessee and Virginia and Kentucky meet right there. And it's coal country. Most people are either coal miners or they teach in the school or they work in the hospital or they're artists. Yeah, they draw checks. So, hello, everybody watching back home. Amen. But that's sort of what they do. And I never thought growing up there and where I would be. And I didn't have a vision for what God could do with my life. I was 14 years old. I just got saved. Then I went back to where my mom lived in Louisville and we didn't go to church. So from 14 to 17, backslid tremendously. We moved back to Harlan. I went back to the church, and I went to a youth conference when I was 17 years old, and I gave my life to God. I said, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And I got rid of the rubbish. I came home that Thursday from that youth conference, and I went to my bedroom. My mom's still not saved at this time. I got all my CDs. Now, if you don't know, music used to not be like on iTunes and all that other stuff. But they used to make these little discs. They was about this round. And they had music on them. And you would listen to them. And yeah, you'd put them in a CD player, which they don't even put in cars anymore. But I had about $3,000 worth of rap CDs. I sat down and opened my big container. I took a claw, the claw of a ball hammer, and a piece of plywood, and I began to break those CDs. And I got rid of the rubbish. Because that's what was between me and God. I tried that whole summer before that youth conference. I tried to get away from that life and away from that music and away from certain people, and I just could not do it. And finally, when I just got rid of it all, God began to work in my life, and I began to get in the Word of God, and I grew. Now, let me just say this. If you're on the wall, you're out of the rubbish. And if you're in the rubbish, you're not on the wall. I said, if you're on the wall, you're not in the rubbish. And if you're in the rubbish, you're not on the wall. Verse number 10, the Bible says there's much rubbish. I just want to talk to you about three different types of rubbish that may be in your life. First of all, rubbish in our recreation. I love to have fun. I like how you guys were having fun. We actually played that cup game, a different variation, and it gets violent sometimes, especially between sisters. I was really impressed with you girls. Y'all, you know, just had a really good spirit about it and everything. So, yeah, back home they'd have killed each other. I love to have fun. And in Nehemiah 6, later on, they have a big feast. They have some fun and fellowship. And the Bible can be fun. And church can be fun. And I think you can enjoy yourself while you're here. But oftentimes, we let our fun get tainted by the world and the devil. And the rubbish begins to pile up. And we wonder why church isn't so fun anymore. And why youth department isn't so fun anymore. And somewhere right along about 10th grade, we begin to get a little bored with the way things are. Mainly because there's a bunch of rubbish in our life. I'm talking about sewage in your social media. Now, I'm on all those different things, Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, and I'm not against social media. I believe it could be used for good and right and all that, and share scriptures and keep in touch with missionary and family and tell about church and youth activities. I think there are prayer requests, all that. But I also know that there's a bunch of trash that can be accessed through your social media. I also know that we can sneak around, and there are sometimes young people who say, well, I don't text. But they Instagram message a girl, or they Instagram message a boy, or they Facebook message a boy or girl, or God forbid they get on Snapchat. I don't know if you guys know, but the purpose of Snapchat was so that you could send promiscuous pictures because they disappear in 10 seconds. Why can't you just text me that picture? Unless you're sending a picture that you don't want them to have.
That's right. Yes, sir.
There is no reason why a young person should have Snapchat.
Amen.
I'm talking about some of those game apps that you start out playing the game, and then all of a sudden you see on the side, you see that you can message your friend. And so then you let the girl that you're interested in know, hey, we need to play this game, Words with Friends. And if you look at the messaging underneath, it's not Scrabble. It's more like a game of Twister. Some of you may be on Vine, all those videos that they put on you. You got to be 17 years or older. You're supposed to be before you get on there. Those videos pop up with offensive language. Somebody cursing and swearing. And you would never talk like that. But you'll let that come through your phone or come through your computer or come through your tablet. Man, you got to name like 17 different electronic devices now. Because you would name a phone. I don't have a cell phone. My parents don't let me have a cell phone. Okay, but you got an iPad that's like this big. I'm talking about sewage in our social media. Hey, listen, I'm talking about silliness in your cell phones. Now, I love my smartphone, but there is so much potential for rubbish to come through this thing right here and get me away from God or get between me and God. To where I can't build a wall because there's a bunch of trash in my life. Talking about music. Every type of music available at your fingertips. Well, I don't have Apple Music. I don't have Spotify. You don't have to. A lot of you go to YouTube. And you listen to music and watch videos on YouTube. And then the preacher preaches and you say, we don't have a TV. If you watch YouTube, you got a TV. If you watch Netflix, you got a TV. You watch Hulu, you got a TV. Then you look down, somebody's talking about watching TV, you're like, that's not good. And some of those videos you watch on YouTube, full of filth and garbage, and then you wonder why when you come to church and the preacher preaches for you to do something for God, or there's an activity and it's not laser tag, it's soul winning, or it's helping somebody in the church, they say, I don't want to do that. I tell you why, because there's rubbish in your life. Trash. Be careful. I'm talking about trash in your TV. We got everything from superheroes to sports to sinful cartoons to these singing shows where everybody gets on there and sings rock music and we think it's okay because they sing, they throw in a gospel song every now and then. You better be careful about that. That'll creep in between you and God and you say, oh, I can't go soul winning on Thursday. I got American Idol to watch. Talking about muck in your music. Let me ask you a question tonight. What's on your iPod? What's in your music program that you use? Or what kind of CDs do you have at home? We get so called away with rock music and rap music. You know, the Bible says, what fellowship have light with darkness? Right. I remember being a teenager and I heard the preacher preaching, and a lot of times the older preachers would preach on AC/DC and all those old groups, you know, the Rolling Stones and the Beatles. And I'm like, oh yeah, get them, preacher. I don't even know who that is. Preach. Tell them it's bad. It's bad. And I walk out, my grandma would say, when we got in the car, she'd say, did you hear what the preacher said? I said, yeah, but he wasn't talking to me. I said, preacher didn't say nothing about Tupac. But the preacher meant Tupac too. I don't know what kind of music you struggle with. Everybody is from a different background. And it may be pop music or country music. It may be CCM. I don't know what it is. But you better be careful to get between you and God. That music has a strong hold. Let me tell you something. When I got rid of my music, something weird happened. My hat turned around. It was like Cinderella, man. Bippity boppity boo. All of a sudden, my britches fit. And my shirts got right where they fit. All of a sudden, my slang cut back. I'm still working on that. Pray for me. Let me ask you a question. The music you listen to, does it get you closer to God?
Come on.
Or does it come between you and God? Remember, if you're on the wall, you're not in the rubbish. And if you're in the rubbish, you're not on the wall. Do you feel like you are more like Jesus when you listen to those certain songs? Or do you live vicariously through those rappers and through those pop singers? Because you would never say those words, but you sure love somebody else saying them. You would never talk that dirty, but you love hearing somebody else talk like that. Rubbish. Second of all, rubbish in our relationships. By the way, we want revival, right? We want revival. You got to get rid of the rubbish. Rubbish in our relationships. I'm talking about the filth of foolish friends. I like how everybody in here, you know, we were all talking and stuff. One guy over there conned me out of $20 on the carpet ball table there. Hopefully I'll get it back after the service. I like how everybody was friendly and talking and fellowshipping. But let me tell you something. You and I both know that there's some people, they may be in this room, they may not be here tonight, that you have to be very careful hanging around. Maybe it's that rebellious teenager. Maybe it's that carnal teenager. Maybe it's that teenager that you know does some stuff that you shouldn't do because you was over their house and they showed you. Because when we sin, we always show somebody. And when you get in trouble, here's what you say. Oh, I was with the wrong crowd. That excuse only goes so long before finally somebody's going to say, maybe you should change crowds. Hey, maybe that spiritual young man, and I don't know who it may be, maybe you should start hanging out with him a little bit more. And it may be a challenge, and it may be difficult, and it may make you feel uncomfortable because you don't think you are him. But you don't have to be him. But he can help you be the best version of you you can be. Same is true for young ladies. I'm talking about potholes with your parents. The Bible says in Proverbs 19, verse 26, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. You may have some problems with your parents. You may have some issues there. Hey, listen, there may even be yelling and fighting and screaming and cursing or hitting. I don't know. But your parents may not be perfect, but they're your parents. Don't waste them. Fix that relationship. Let me tell you something. If you got an issue with mom or an issue with dad, you better get that solved quick, because if not, that bitterness will rise up in your heart and you will begin to hate your parents. And you can't tell me you love God if you got an issue with your parents. I'm talking about litter with leadership. Maybe there's a school teacher who got onto you and it wasn't really your fault, but you got in trouble for it. And you come here tonight for revival. But you got that in your heart. Maybe you got called out publicly by someone who saw you do something or knew you was involved in something. Maybe you feel like you were mistreated. Maybe it's a youth department. Maybe it's a school. Maybe it's the church. Maybe it's your friends. I don't know what it is. But listen, if you let that build up, that'll get between you and God. And you won't be able to work on the wall because there'll be a bunch of rubbish in your life. You won't like this one, but this one's good. We're talking about the debris of dating. You know what the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes? Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Not remember that boy in the days of your youth. Or remember that girl in the days of your youth. It says that in the days of your youth, you should get a real good relationship with your Creator. There'll be plenty of time for marriage and girls and boys. But you're sure to pick the wrong one if you don't know the Creator. I'm talking about the rubbish of falling in love over and over. Oh, I love her. Well, now listen, you need to pray about that. You're only 11. I'll never forget, we picked up this one kid. I think his name was Kobe. And one time we went by to see him to ride the bus. And we said, hey, Kobe, you coming? He said, I don't know. I said, what's going on, man? He said, my girlfriend don't want me to go. I said, Kobe, you're 8. Tell you something, some of you guys, hey, listen, if you start now walking around, letting a girl tell you what to do or dictate what you do. Well, I don't want to play the games because I want to look cool. You already don't look cool. It's all right. Talking about the rubbish of breaking up over and over and over and over and over. And we wonder why people say, people get in their 20s and their 30s and they get divorced. They walk away from a home. It's because when they were teenagers, they dated and they broke up and then they broke up and then they broke up and then they broke up. And so when things don't work out, you go find another one. It's not the way it should be. Talking about the rubbish of fornicating. Let me tell you something. The Bible says, fellas, you should not touch a girl. Ladies, same thing, unless you're hitting them, okay? I'm just kidding about that. We shouldn't touch. Is everybody with me? Amen. Tell you what happens. That girl will get between you and God. Instead of reading your Bible, you'll be talking to her. Instead of walking with God, you'll be talking to Him. And you wonder why you don't want to do church stuff anymore. Wonder why you come to revival and you say, well, I didn't really get anything. I mean, I had a little fun, but I didn't get any closer to God. The Bible says, if any man defile the temple, him shall God destroy. You better take care of yourself. That's the type of rubbish that'll keep you off the wall and get between what God has for you. Number three, I'm almost done. Talking about rubbish in our religion. The Bible says in the book of James, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Pure religion. Let me tell you what, I'm not going to preach this message, but man, I chewed on this and chewed on this and chewed on this and chewed on this. Y'all ever read in the book of Ephesians, how when Paul was writing to the church of Ephesus, he tells them in chapter 6, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And what else? Who? Rulers of darkness and who said it in the back? Spiritual wickedness. Ever since I was a teenager, I'd read that and I'd say, that don't make no sense. Spiritual wickedness. I don't know what that is. What is that? And then it says spiritual wickedness in high places. That means important places or you definitely could look at it as the government, but maybe in church. And I really believe spiritual wickedness is this. It can go two ways. It can either be something spiritual done wickedly or wrong. That's like when you take a really good song and you put some drums in there and you rock out to, you know, Amazing Grace. You ask me, it's spiritual wickedness. It's like when a preacher gets up and says he's going to preach and really all he does is hymn haul around and tell people how good they are. And the Bible says that they're not good. To me, it's spiritual wickedness. But then also I think it could be something wicked made spiritual. Let me ask you tonight, how pure is your religion? How pure is your faith in God? How pure is your life as far as church goes? Listen, I know we go through the motions and everybody's dressed right tonight and you're doing right and you're serving, you're here, you got your Bibles, you're reading, you're praying. But I think sometimes it's just because it's what we do.
Right. Exactly.
We go through the motions. Yes, sir. We're almost robots.
Right.
Yes. Because we don't want to look bad, we do it. Because we don't get pressured by the youth pastor, we show up. Because the church has expectations for us, we do what we need to do. But the truth is, sometimes in our hearts, it's not there. Pure, the Bible says, undefiled, unspotted. There may be some of you tonight, you're wearing your shirts and ties, but underneath, you might be wearing a chain. You may look really good in your short haircut, but you may wish you had one of them Justin Bieber cuts. Some of you guys may be wearing your suits, but inside you're wearing skinny jeans. Some of you girls may be wearing your skirts and dresses, but in your heart, you may want to wear those pants. You may want to wear those mini skirts. You may want to have that short hair and piercings and tattoos. And listen, you may never get it on the outside because you know your parents would kill you, some of you. But if you got it on the inside, eventually what's in the well comes up in the bucket. And I've seen Christian school their whole life, K through 12, adjust to the system. But the truth is they couldn't build a wall because there was so much rubbish. So if you have some rubbish, we want revival, right? We got to get rid of that rubbish. I don't know what it is in your life. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'll let Him deal with you. But I just want to tell you three ways that we get rid of the rubbish. First of all, you have to realize. Notice that word, realize. eyes. You ever thought about that? The word realize means I take a real set of eyes and see what I'm talking about. What is between you and God? What is that thing that as you maybe you go to camp or you go to conference or you go to youth meetings and you hear preaching and God begins to deal with your heart, but then that one thing pops up in your mind. It says, you can't build that wall. There's this big sack of trash sitting between you and God. What is it? I don't know what it is for you. I know what it was for me, and I know what it took. I had to see it. What is the rubbish that keeps you from surrendering your life to God, that keeps you from serving God with your life? You got to realize it. Not just, it's okay, or not just, everything's fine, or not just, oh, well, I'm good. I'm just going to come up here and pray a little bit because that's what I do every time, and then I'm going to go back to my seat, and everything's going to be all right. I mean, take a real look at your life. Yes. Then you got to remove it. That means get rid of it. That means gone. Break it like those CDs. Burn it. Throw it out. Stay away from it. That means permanently. That doesn't mean you put it in the back of your closet and you say, I'm never going to do that again. That's why you did it when you got back 2 weeks later after you got back from camp. Because you knew it was in the closet. You knew it was under the bed. I'm not talking about removing the app, but not the contents, or deleting your iPod, but not your iTunes. And so you know all you got to do is log in with that password and boom, you got access to all that music again. I'm talking about getting rid of the rubbish. You can't get to what God has for you with that in the way. You got to get rid of it. And then third of all, you got to replace it. Find something for it. Listen, there's so much. So many times we're like Adam and Eve. We see the one tree we can't have and we're like, oh man, life stinks. I hate my life. Why? Because I can't do this one thing. What about these other seven things you can do? It doesn't matter, that one thing. That's how we view the Christian life sometimes. Replace it. There's so many other things you can do. Listen, you can look nice. I can hook you up with a haircut that's way better than a Bieber cut. There's good Christian music you can listen to. That'll stir your spirit like us singing a minute ago when I looked around and the majority of you were singing, and that's great. That's wonderful. If you can't sing in church, you got a problem. A lot of you were singing and it began to stir your heart. And now listen, imagine if that's the feeling you got in the mornings when you were getting ready. Instead of listening to rock music, you listen to Christian music, and all of a sudden you walk in the spirit instead of walking in the flesh. Maybe you've never heard some of the stuff I said tonight, and you're like me that one night, and you're like going, man, that bald guy's crazy. Maybe you've heard it over and over and over and over. And you have a wall started. Maybe you surrendered once, or maybe you felt like God called you to preach once, or maybe you felt like God called you to be a missionary once, or maybe you made a decision to go to Bible college at one time. But now you're sort of backed up a little, and there's some stuff between you and that wall. Rubbish. If I ask who wants to be on the wall and serve God tonight, I think a lot of you would raise your hand. But if you're on the wall, you're not in the rubbish. And if you're in the rubbish, you're not on the wall. One quick story. One summer, a preacher was preaching at a camp. He was preaching. And as he was preaching, he mentioned dating, sort of like I did tonight. How it was wrong to be familiar and to touch, and how boys and girls should keep their distance. And he talked about it. And he made a statement. He said, now listen, if you want more verses, you just come see me after the service and I'll show you. After the service, the camp had lunch down the hill, and the preacher was sitting at a picnic table eating his stew that they had that day. You know, that camp stew. You never know what's in it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? All of a sudden, a Bible slammed down on the picnic table, and that stew went all over the preacher's tie. And a voice said, okay, show me. The preacher looked up and saw a young man, and the preacher said, okay. And the young man said, listen, you said that you would show me in the Bible where it says, I shouldn't touch my girlfriend. The young man sat down and the preacher took about 30 minutes and showed the young man what the Bible says about fornication and touching and kissing and purity and adultery and all the like. Afterwards, he asked the young man, he said, "Did you see it in the Bible?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Do you believe the Bible?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Do you love God?" He said, "Of course." He said, "Do you want to obey God?" He said, "I do." He said, "Are you going to stop what you're doing with your girlfriend?" The young man said, "Probably not. I kind of like holding hands with my girlfriend. Now, I appreciate the Sunday school lesson and everything, but I think God will get over it." The young man picked up his Bible and began to walk away. The preacher stood up and he called. He said, hey, he said, "Hey, can you come here for a minute?" The little boy walked back over and the preacher said, "Maybe you can help me with something." The little boy looked at him. "Sure." The preacher said, "Listen, my wife keeps nagging me. She tells me all the time, you got to take out the trash." He said, "I hate picking up the trash." He said, "The bag's too full and the can comes up." He said, "Then there's garbage juice and it's all over the floor and I got to carry it out to the can. Then I got to take the can to the curb. I mean, it's just so much. I hate it. I hate taking out the trash." I know. A man should take out the trash and a man should move the can and a man should carry it all out. But I'm just telling you right now, I know I'm supposed to, but sometimes I even eat out so that people have to throw away my trash. I don't know what my wife eats. She eats alone. She's so mad at me right now. We're fighting. It's pretty bad. All because of the trash." He said, "You got any advice?" The young man thought for a second. He said, "Well, sir, I mean, if you love your wife, I mean, you should..." He looked at the preacher with a little smirk. He said, "You ain't got a problem with your wife and trash, do you?" Preacher said, "No, but you got a problem with dating and God. I don't know what's between you and your wall. But if we're going to have real revival, it's got to start tonight by getting rid of the rubbish. It's between you and God, but it needs to go if you're going to get on the wall." Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.